More than we can imagine or even sing about. Lord, the fact that you've given us victory over the grave, the fact that no one can pluck us out of your hand. Lord, your salvation is final and complete. You're able to save to the uttermost, not just part way, but all the way until we get to heaven. You have sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and thank you for the promises that you've given us, Lord, that we just sung about. And oh Lord, as we come before your holy word today, God, I pray that you would just wash us clean from our sins, that our minds and hearts hear what you have to say. And Lord, I pray that you'd remove me as a human out of the way and only let the truth of your word come forth. God, we ask that you would touch the children and bless them, Lord, and be with them as they go to junior church. God, I pray that they would learn and grow up to be strong followers of you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just ask that you would have your way among us and that you'd make us ever more like Jesus with ever increasing glory from glory to glory, transformed into your image, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd remove the distractions of our heart. God, the weariness and the tiredness of our souls. God, the hurts of our heart, the things that we faced in life. We give those over to you so that we can see you clearly now. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to be present, to convict us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated as the kids are dismissed. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 as we continue our What Did Jesus Do series in the Gospel of Mark. And I want to begin by reading those verses, and I'm going to be looking at a few verses today, verses 13 to 16 of Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look at how Jesus handles the devaluing of children. How Jesus handles the devaluing of children. Now more than ever in our culture and around the world, children are being devalued in multiple ways. And much of those that have been a part of God's church or claim to be a part have taken part in it. And as we come into this passage, the disciples themselves took part in the devaluing of children. And Jesus has a lot to say about that. So I want to begin by reading that, verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now during this time when this happened, infanticide was a very common thing, and it was not outlawed until AD 375, and it was real common with the Romans, and even when they passed the law, it was not very effective. Roman law had given the fathers to choose whether their sons or daughters could live. They could be put to death. Children were deemed as the lowest part of society, not as important, just like in our culture today, that we've aborted millions of children. A father could simply order his son and daughter to death. And then we have Herod, who was the example of that. Remember when Jesus was born, he had all those babies slaughtered, just like it was nothing. Just like it was smooth transition and a part of a government decision. But opposed to Roman culture was God's chosen people, the Hebrew people, who considered all children as a gift from the Lord. And we can see that in the Old Testament, like when Rachel spoke in Genesis 31, "Give me children or I shall die." The Hebrew people honored and loved children for who they were. And so as we work through our way in this today, you can picture what's going on in the scene. What was common and prevalent for the day is that children were not that important. And so much so that even the disciples themselves were giving way and giving, inching their way towards this cultural belief. Now, as we come to this first part, number one, Jesus is grieved, number one, when children are devalued. And it was Jewish custom to bring children to a rabbi or the patriarch or the father, and he would put his hands on them and say a blessing over them. And then in Luke's account of this passage, it says that they were bringing not only children, but infants to him. So just born babies, fresh born babies out of the womb. They're bringing them to Jesus. Now, we may not realize how tired and how busy the ministry was for Jesus. Can you imagine getting up early in the morning, way before everybody else gets up, to pray, to have physical strength, and then going and ministering and praying over people all day long until late at night, to the point of literal exhaustion? So the disciples thought, well, you know, let's help Jesus out a bit. Let's cut some of the things that are not important. In their eyes, it was the children. It said, you know, Jesus has been healing people, so let's just tell them to go away. So the disciples rebuked him in the big line. Can you imagine every father and mother expectantly, the rabbi Jesus coming to have their children blessed and all excited and a buzz, and then his disciples, his followers come out and the killjoys that they were and said, go home! Enough! The dismay on their faces. You see, today, children are devalued in a lot of different ways. One we already mentioned, at the altar of abortion, of selfish convenience. We murdered and slaughtered millions of children. Children are also subtly devalued with this push for gender equality as well. Think about it. Allow a boy who feigns to be a girl to compete in girls' sports. It's going to affect our children first. What good feminists and good feminism has fought hard for is now being thrown astray with our culture and society pushing this on our children to devalue them. How about child trafficking and the pornography industry online? What part have you taken up in that? Because you say, well, I don't watch child porn. I watch this and that. But if you are paying into it or you're buying into it, you're supporting the whole industry, you see. And human trafficking around the world, in which our nation ranks so high. When biological gender is devalued, children will be exploited. And there's also the agenda of homosexuality in our schools and government and the Hollywood, for our children will be even more confused with a steady rise in depression and mental illnesses. To say biological science is not science simply is absurd. Think of the impact on our children and how that devalues their mental sanity. What part have you played, and I had to ask myself this, in devaluing children? It says in the text here today that Jesus was grieved, or he was indignant, which means he was to grieve violently, or in other words, he felt a violent irritation physically. It was like compared to that word indignant, it's compared to the fermenting of wine. And it's to show the signs of grief, to be very displeased, to be sore displeased. And there Jesus was, his very own disciples saying, go away. And Jesus feeling that sick to stomach feeling inside, so displeased at the disvaluing of children. And oh, if we as his church would rise up in our prayer lives, would rise up in what we speak at work and home and in the marketplaces. Do we value children? Are we standing up for the valuation of children, because they are a gift of God? That is one of the foundational doctrines in the church. And from the beginning of time, from Genesis 1:1. You think Christians all over this world, when we approve of those that practice by voting for people that devalue children. We think of the crisis at the border and the devaluing of children where everybody was, and this is how hypocritical that the world is right now and how they call evil good and good evil. Right now, the devaluing and the conditions of children are worse than it's ever been at the border. How come nobody's talking about it now? There is an evil agenda, the Antichrist spirit, and the church, we must grieve like Jesus grieved that children are devalued. May the Lord give us that grief in our spirits. Number two, Jesus commands that children should be valued. He comes right out and says it in verse 14. When he saw it, he was indignant, and he said, "Let the children come to me." And let's break these things down to what Jesus said. First of all, he says, "Let them come." In other words, Jesus welcomes, loves, and accepts. And in other words, Jesus, that word "let" means to set free, or like birds out of a cage, to let alone. Disciples, stand down. Let them come and get on my lap. Can you imagine someone going to a mall during Christmas time when the kids are lined up to see Santa Claus, and they get up on his lap, and all of a sudden I just rush and I say, "Children, go home. Santa doesn't want to see you today." What a scene that would create. And here's the disciples turning away people. But he says, "Let them come. I welcome them. I love them." I debated on putting this cartoon on, and it started off with the parents, and you know, it is funny, but I'm not going to put the cartoon up. But when we deal with our kids, sometimes they wear us out, sometimes, right? They do. And so the cartoon started off with the parent saying, "I'm not religious." Then I had kids, and now I am religious. I believe Satan exists. But with all the trouble and the trauma that we think children bring to us, God gives them to us as a gift. You know, when we at times maybe feel discouraged that kids are running around or making noise in the service or in the church, I'm glad for that. Don't ever get upset at that kind of thing. Jesus says, "Let them come. Let them come." You know, Jesus celebrates the birth of children in John chapter 16, verses 21, when he talks about the joy of a woman given birth. He celebrates the child from birth. He celebrates parental love. And when he gives the example of how much more would God give you a good gift if even evil parents give good gifts to their children. They won't give them a serpent when they ask for bread. Jesus celebrates children all throughout. Then he says to the disciples, he said, "Do not hinder them." That means to withhold or restrain, or it comes from a word meaning to be docked or lopped or clipped. And I thought about, you know, sometimes our chickens get out of the pen, and that puts them in a lot of danger and that sort of thing. And so we have to go out, and I try to help Tanya hold the chicken down. It doesn't hurt them or anything, but they're just embarrassed. And we have to clip a certain part of their wings so that they cannot fly anymore. But when we devalue children, we clip their wings. We discourage them, we restrain them, we hinder them, and we withhold. And Jesus says, don't do that. And our society is clipping the wings of the children. How grieved are you about it? The kind of devaluing and the confusion that our children are facing today. You know, another way that we hinder, which is the opposite way, is when we fail to tell our children no when we need to tell them no. And praise God for those of you that as parents have suffered hurt and pain and consequences because you've had to set up boundaries and you've had to say, no, these are the rules of my house because I want to protect you. It is child abuse to let your children rule your home. We value children. We give them safe boundaries for their protection. I never will forget several years ago going out in the hallway and hearing a parent say and bend down to their kid, where would you like to go out to eat today? The kid, I don't know, barely 2 or 3 years old. And and then, you know, having the parents come up and say, you know, we're sending our kid to a school that doesn't have any rules because we want them to find their fullest potential. I don't know where those kids are today. I hope something changed, but that is devaluing children when we refuse to say no. Jesus said, and he makes an astounding statement here that is so powerful, and if there is any case for infant baptism, which I don't hold to, this would be it. But Jesus said the kingdom of God belongs to children. Children have the spiritual capacity to be born again even at an early age. Notice how Jesus elevates the children and their spiritualities. And he says, for such belongs the kingdom of God. He says, that word belong means to exist or to happen or to be present. The kingdom of God is present among children. The kingdom of God comes to existence or happens with children. And that's what Jesus says. He says, for to such or this kind or this sort. And remember, they were not only, according to Luke's gospel, bringing children, but they were bringing infants to Jesus. Those belong the kingdom of God. And if we raise them up in the Lord Jesus Christ with a covenant with God and share the gospel, then someday they will give their lives to Jesus Christ on their own. That's the promise of God's word. And we link that to Acts where a whole household gets saved and he says, you and your household will be saved. Salvation comes to you. You share it with your children. Now, you don't save your children, and they have their own born-again experience. I just want to make sure I qualify that so you don't say, Pastor Mike said that just because I'm a Christian, my kids will be Christians. That's not the case. But if you raise them in the Lord and give them the gospel, here's what Jesus is talking about. It belongs to them, and it'll come into existence with them. This is so powerful when we think about it. And I'm amazed that sometimes when you see a 2-year-old or even a 1-year-old come to Jesus Christ and you can see a noticeable difference. The gospel is for children as well, not just for lofty adults or disciples, you know, following Jesus. George MacDonald once said, this was a pastor, that he doubted a man's Christianity if children were never found playing around his door. And I love that. If you're crabby towards children, you're missing what Jesus said here. D.L. Moody came from a meeting and he was an evangelist and a revivalist and he reported that 2.5 conversions took place. This is how much he understood what Jesus was saying here. He said, 2 adults, the person that he was staying with said, well, I'm assuming 2 adults and a child, I suppose. No, said Moody. 2 children and an adult. The children gave their whole lives, meaning from the time they're young till the time they die. The adult only had half of his life left to give. That's how Jesus valued kids and children. Number 3 gets beyond that. Jesus declares that children are the example of how we receive the kingdom of God. If it wasn't already elevated enough, Jesus just takes it a whole nother level, and he declares that they are the example of how you and I come to Christ. And in the commentary, he talks about, in the subjective sense, of course, children have this trustfulness, right? They have this receptivity or this simplicity to wonder about the gospel. They have no garbage that gets in the way from them trusting in the Lord. And then they have this objective sense. Children are helpless and dependent. Even your teenagers are dependent on you for car insurance and cars and food and clothes and all these sorts of things. And you slowly start weaning them off as they move out and grow up and go to college and make lives of their own. Children are absolutely helpless and dependent on you to live. I don't know any two-year-old that owns his own house and goes to work every day with a briefcase and comes home and provides food for himself or clothes. You know what Jesus was saying here? When you receive the kingdom of God, when you come to receive the gospel, you come with nothing. You don't come with any good works. You don't come with anything to offer to God. You come in helpless dependence on Him. And that's what Jesus was saying. He says, you can't be a part of the kingdom of God if you're trying to say, Jesus, I'm coming to receive your gospel, but I have this to add to it. Let's see how this helps a little bit. This should go a long way. I helped out in the soup line and I attended church for 20 years. We have to come at that place of utter dependence. Like a helpless baby, every person must receive the kingdom of God with nothing to bring and doing nothing, being completely helpless. And this is reminds me of this famous line of the song of the great hymn, Rock of Ages. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. When children receive Jesus, they have nothing to offer to Him. And that's why Jesus was saying, you must, in order to be born again, come with nothing in your hands to receive. And in Matthew 18, this account, at the time the disciples came and were saying and arguing who is the greatest in the kingdom, and in calling him a child, Jesus said, okay, I'm going to call a child to me and I'm going to teach these guys something. This was before this situation and they still didn't learn it, right? But he puts the child in the midst of them. He set him right in front of him. He said, surely, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. It's the humility and that we come to Jesus Christ. And remember this, as we talk about valuing children, we talked about this I don't know how many weeks ago, but those millstones were a big, heavy, round stone. I showed a picture of it, you remember, a few weeks ago? And that was a common thing, to throw somebody in the sea, to drown them. That was a Roman punishment. Make sure that, as he was telling his disciples, his very own disciples, which they still didn't get it because in our passage today, they still sent the children away. Let that be eradicated from our lives. Let us value children with our voting, with our lifestyle, with everything that we do and say, that we don't back down, because it is the kingdom of God we're talking about. It is the value of the gospel of grace that we're speaking of here when it comes to children. And this leads us to the last point, because Jesus just further drives the nail in, and when he rebukes them and back, and he says, let them come to me, do not hinder, for such belongs the kingdom of God. And then in verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus embraced and blessed the children. Now, I want to encourage you with this word bless here, because this word bless has a few different meanings. And I want you to think about some things when it comes to blessing our children. And you know what? There's a lot of prayers in the Old Testament of blessing, and I encourage you to research those out and pray those. Put your hand on the heads of your children and pray them over them. But blessing means to speak well of. How often do you speak well of your son and daughter versus how often you're critical of your son or daughter? Blessed. When we bless, we speak well of. And it means to celebrate with praises. And it's, in a sense, praises that are addressed to God, acknowledging His goodness and with desire for His glory. So when you pray and bless your children and the children in this church that belong to all of us here, you are, in a sense, praying to God and thanking Him for His goodness because they are gifts from Him. So this word blessing, to speak well of, to praise. And then it means to invoke blessings on the person. And maybe all these passages like Ephesians 1, the spiritual blessings that we've received from God in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, pray that over your kids. Give them blessing after blessing. Invoke blessings. And then it also means to consecrate a thing. Or in other words, to dedicate them to the Lord. And then last of all, it means to cause, to prosper, to make happy, to dispose, to, excuse me, bestow blessings on. So Jesus embraces and blesses the children. What a beautiful picture. You know, here's all these parents lining up, and Jesus just takes it a whole step further. His disciple says, stop. And He says, bring them to Me. And He just takes them, picks them up, and embraces them and prays His prayer of blessing over their lives. Oh, if we would become a church and a people in this nation who once again value our children. Once again value our children enough to hang on to truth and not give it way to lies of that birth out of feelings. And I'm just this way because I feel it is a detrimental thing to say to the fish, why don't you come out of the water, little fish, and be my dog? Don't you identify as a dog? How cruel is that to the fish? We see this. We need to speak this truth louder and clearer in our nation right now because the insanity is wild. We're telling our kids to be something that God did not create them to be, and we're thus giving them their death sentence. God is for life, for freedom, for liberty. And we will proclaim this until Jesus Christ comes, no matter what. Will you? I want to encourage you today, bless your children, bless them more. I didn't say spoil them. Bless them. Bless them more. Let's elevate children as Jesus did. Could the worship team come this morning? Father, we bless Your holy, righteous, powerful name today. You are so good and so mighty and so holy. Lord, anything that I have said that's not in Your Word, that You would bring that to nothing. But Lord, let Your words, seeds, produce fruit in our lives. And Lord, we want to come before You, and as a church body here, we ask Your forgiveness for the many ways that we, in the individual ways that each of us have participated in the devaluing of children, rather than seeing them as a gift from You. Father, I pray that You bring holiness and purity among us as we seek Your face, not by our might, but by Your power, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just want to pray for those parents who have done their diligence and have raised their children in the Lord, and yet they're taking a different direction for a time. God, I pray that you'd reassure each person with your promises in your life. And we believe, God, you're able to do a miracle beyond our thinking in our children's life. For those parents that are praying right now for their kids, God, we pray for a miracle of healing, God, for restoration all over in this room. Adult children, children that have gone on into the work life and career that have turned away from you. God, we ask for the fruit of the gospel, the things that were deposited in their heart to come to be. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of their souls. Oh God, we give you all the glory and the honor and might and dominion today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this.